I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original. Lovers of film, TV, and theatre.
Oh my!
You might have thought that was a music intro to our podcast, but that's not what we do. We do love music, though.
We do love music. Oh my God, we love music, man.
But we're lovers of film, TV, and theatre. And we're back in the studio. It's been a while, man.
Everybody.
To be fair, what I will say is probably a much needed break. Much needed in terms of we had the live show, had quite a busy summer as well.
And we still recorded two episodes, I think it was.
Yeah. So yeah, it's good to be back in the studio with the guys, as Huss called it, the OG4. So shout out to you guys. How was your holidays? Let's go with that first. Jason, give us a breakdown of your romantic holiday away.
Romantic? It wasn't romantic at all. I was just celebrating my 30th.
Mm-hmm. It looks super awesome, man.
Friends, family, like, all surprised me. You know, tears were flowing.
Oh, how did you get surprised by your friends and family?
How?
Yeah.
So I thought it was just going to be me and my girl going on holiday. And I...
You and who?
Anyway. So, get through security, everything. Everything seemed
with
fine.
Who?
Huh?
With who?
Someone in it. I'm joking. No. Just went through security checks and everything, me and my girl. And then... got through kind of like, you know, the waiting area after you've done all your checks and whatnot.
Security's the worst part of going on holiday, man.
Oh, my day is the worst. And then
I can't lie, security usually takes like 5 minutes for me every single time.
I mean, when I get there, but it's the people in front. They always got something wrong with them, or like the machine was broken and you have to wait. But when you yourself
you have
are
to
there,
take off some of your bits and pieces and put it in the tray
for okay. Oh, I travel mad.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nah, like, there was this guy in front of me, yeah?
Just go with you and your cock, just...
that's heavy still.
They put it in the suitcase.
Might look like... <it's>
Nah,
this is how we put when Basola's not here, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Golly.
Nah, but it was all good, man. It was great. But yeah, how was your holiday?
Ask some pertinent questions.
Yeah.
Exactly. This guy, he was horrid.
I was
whoring where?
In Ibiza.
I wasn't whoring Ibiza.
In Ibiza.
You were whoring in Barcelona then?
I wasn't whoring in Barcelona either.
He wasn't all of them, man.
I wasn't whoring in any of those places.
So you wasn't whoring in Malta?
Oh, Malta either, Ibiza. No.
God
not Malta,
damn.
Not Barcelona, not Ibiza.
And you was whoring three mad locations.
It was very wholesome trips. Like, good fun. I enjoyed myself. Yeah, time of my life. I definitely want to back next year.
Meet any nice people out there?
I did meet like really nice people.
Did you?
I did. Really nice people. Yeah. Okay,
cool. People that you're gonna keep in touch with?
Yeah. I might have seen one of them yesterday.
Shit!
I said, "Michael, banter, just jokes."
For the second part.
Kidding.
That's so jokes.
And then Hussam, you've been in the grind.
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah, we've been, I had my holidays, like, I guess, in theory, a bit early, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mine kind of ended after my birthday. And then after that, it was work mode. So, but I did say, though, I think I said this in the last podcast. I don't know. No, I don't think I did. But August 2024 was my favorite August I've had probably in my life. Like, just... everything was right. I was in Japan. I had my birthday trip.
There
was so much like
fucking hell,
going
like,
on.
Yeah, speak to us about Japan, man.
Yeah, tapped, bro. What a fantastic place. Like, oh, you and me will have a great time there. Oh my days. But like,
it looked amazing.
There's like certain trips that I will do with both the mandem and the babes, and that's like one of those trips.
Okay.
It can be like a group thing, you know. But we're catch us in Japan. Live show next year.
Wow.
It was dope, man.
And then, let's talk about the host. What
have
you been up to?
Stuck in London, man.
Stuck in London. Do you know what? One of my favorite, funniest things I've seen as of late, like you put something on your story, like a location, and a man goes, "Yo, is this Ibiza?" And you're like,
"Oh,
nah,
that's the funniest shit." funny.
No, that killed me. I was like, nah, that's jokes.
I was literally in comedy.
Yeah. I knew you went in a beef.
You probably knew I'd post that as well.
Yeah, no. Well, I promise you, I cried, bro.
Yeah, I saw that. And I was so like, no funny. Way.
That was quality for me. That was quality. Yeah, no, just. Oh,
no, that's good.
Man. Work's got me busy, bro.
Grinding.
Days job, innit? We're here to pod. It's been a minute, and there's been quite a few releases, both in the film and TV world.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we want to start? Should we start with the biggest talking point in terms of film in the last couple of weeks, if not last couple of months?
I'm assuming you mean
Joker Folia Do.
I've seen someone commented on one of my videos, yeah, and they were like, it's so funny how people are trying to say Joker 2 instead of saying Joker Folia Do, because I said Joker 2, innit?
Yeah.
I can say Folia Do, but it's just like, you know, you don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's French, though.
Let's talk about it, man. It's the biggest talking point in terms of
wants to start.
Films.
I haven't watched it. I don't think I plan to. I'll lie to you.
Really?
I have some very interesting reasons as to why I think you should.
I was going to say, yeah, I think you should watch it. I think... Personally, I mean,
No, cook. If you're gonna do spoilers, it's fine. But cook.
Yeah,
off the bat, I think it's a bad film. I left the cinema quite dejected, and feeling like, what did I spend my time watching initially?
Mm-hmm.
The film definitely has redeemable traits. So I think one of the talking points I've seen from people is that this film has nothing to say, and I think that's completely wrong. I think if you think the film has nothing to say, you've misunderstood the purpose of the first film. What's happened since then, heading into the second and coming out.
For sure.
We can get into it slowly but surely, but yeah, I think it's a bad film. It's not great, but it has some traits where you're like, oh, I can see what you're trying to do there. Oh, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I think the discourse around film and TV and any piece of art or medium should always be, why is this bad? Not just, disingenuous. It's a disrespect to the people that have put so much effort and time into a piece of art. So,
for sure.
There's a reason why I would watch it. Because I've seen what some people had issues with in terms of, like, not that it was purposely meant to be bad, but it was purposely meant to take a different direction in comparison to the first film. Obviously, I haven't watched it, so excuse me if I'm wrong.
What's been the discourse that you've seen based on from the first film?
Essentially, from the first film, like, Joaquin
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, his character as the Joker, was portrayed to be this maniac. He's obviously not right in the mind, and does all this crazy stuff, but as it got taken, not out of context, but people are taken to this character to be a bit more different that it was initially showcased in the film. Like, people see him as more of a kind of like a hero. It seems like incels love him, innit? Essentially.
Yes.
I haven't heard this from the director. I'm just seeing people that talked about it, saying that the writers and director purposely wanted to move away from that and essentially showcase that, no, this guy is not. He's not in the right mind. You're not supposed to be loving this character.
Yeah,
and apparently that's how the film was approached in taking, and apparently just made mistakes with it. So with things like that, I could watch something like that based on what people said that, and I can appreciate the angle that they're trying to take and still say it's a bad film.
Yeah.
But still, you can still try and make art, and art can still be rubbish.
Yeah.
But still an effort in terms of telling a story that you thought was honest and true. Sometimes it just doesn't land. That's the only reason why I would watch it. I know already I'm not going to like it, but I think I might be able to watch it and appreciate some parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's... All right, host, you watched it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Go to you first, and I'll give my thoughts after. Yeah. Jason, you can go in as well. What did you think about the film?
Yeah, no, it was I think I agree with both of you, you know. Well... from the points that obviously you've heard and what you said, guys. I don't think it's a horrible film, okay? You know, I don't think it's a good film either. I think that the performances from Phoenix and Gaga were as good as they could be. I don't think it was a them problem. I think it was a writing problem, you know?
For sure.
And because of that, I actually think Gaz and me had a chat like immediately afterwards, and he was saying how like the first Joker film doesn't have what would you say, it doesn't have rewatch value, right? Like you can, but you won't like run to rewatch it like every single time. And I feel like this will have that in like 5 years' time.
Really?
I think people will appreciate it a lot more later on. I think right now, because I went into it expecting, I didn't expect the world, right? But I expected something along the lines of what we saw the first round because it worked so well, right? It's almost like the Avatar complex where like you do a film, it goes crazy. You don't expect it to go crazy. It goes absolutely nuts, right? And then you kind of follow the similar formula and then twist up a few things. Whereas this film felt so narrow throughout all of it, you know, and so it's too many songs, man. I can't. Let's just get straight to the point. There's too many songs. What was that? 12 songs? 12?
Yeah, there's a lot of songs.
Okay, whatever it was. And there was only two of them that I really, really liked, you know. Gaga was cool, but even her character had... If you take her character out of the whole equation, out of everything, nothing changes. Everything's the same. Like, take her out, and she's not there at all for the whole film. Nothing changes.
Ooh, like, there's elements where I disagree.
Nothing changes.
Yeah, I think I disagree in the aspects of what Lady Gaga's character was supposed to represent. So I watched the film on Friday on the official kind of like release date, and I spent kind of like the last few days thinking about it. I've gone on record to say that I did not like the first film. Like, I really didn't like it. And for the second
one... How come you didn't like the first film?
First film, I think with... I didn't like the messaging and that idea of kind of like how what's the word I'm looking for? I felt it was a little bit like this is me being reaching because I know
it's been a while since you watched
and
it.
It's been a while that I've watched it, but like I didn't like the messaging in terms of how, you know, when if you get a mentally ill person off their meds, they're gonna go crazy. Okay. And they had that theme throughout or anything like that. And then I didn't like it too much. And I think it was a lot of style without little substance. Like, a lot of the problems I had in the first one are present in this one, which is the writing. I hated the writing in Joker 1. And then kind of like, and it's not the film's fault, but because the film exists, I kind of have to put it on that. But it's, as you said, like how people have taken the Joker character and they've martyred him as this sort of kind of like anarchist hero when he's not meant to be that. Like, you know, and a lot of incels have taken to him, a lot of kind of like anti-people have taken to him, which is like, and this is where I can say like, do you know what? It's not really your fault, but because you exist, this has made this. So I kind of have to blame you, if that makes sense.
I don't get like the whole... Like, I don't, it's like, he was the whole, like, martyr thing, okay, and that stuff, like, with the twist at the end, right, it just made it just, like, a mental health story. It didn't actually, like, I get it. Like, films have to have, like, a second layer of meaning and you know, and that kind of stuff. But this is one of the most dynamic villains in comic book history. Which is... Across both of the major...
Again,
right?
Comic
book history. One of the most dynamic, and the reason why people, except for Jason, loved the first one, because it felt like an origin of the mania, right? So if this is a continuation of that same mania, it just wasn't good enough.
This is where I got to disagree again, because I don't think, like, and I know we're getting bogged down on the first one, and I'll jump on the second one in a second, but like, what makes Joker so compelling is the fact that he had no origin in the first place, which is like one of the kind of like great mysteries in the comics, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got Batman who had an origin, who, you know, saw his parents die, and he's like this very, you know, lawful in very heavy air quotes guy. Like, he's got a code that he keeps, whereas Joker came out of nowhere and is crazy out of nowhere. Like,
so Jesus belly then.
Do you know what? Fuck it up. But yeah, literally, like with Joker, it's like the reason why Joker and Batman go so well together is because it's like chaos and order, and it's just like chaos is never meant to be understood. And by giving us the first Joker film, you give us a reason to understand it.
Nah,
I don't think that's good enough.
I disagree with you, yeah. And I think it kind of leans into one of my issues that I think Todd Phillips also has. I love comic book characters. I love the whole concept of comic books, and then whether you can translate that onto screen or not. And I think there are certain aspects of particular groups of fandom who can only see one sort of depiction of what they know a certain character to be or a certain story to be, which I think is what Todd Phillips is trying to say with the second film, is that the fans in the film of Joker, in the actual film itself, in the second film, and the first film, to be fair, expected and wanted Arthur Fleck to be the Joker.
Yeah.
They lacked the idea of what the Joker represented, and that's what they wanted from him. They didn't want Arthur Fleck. They wanted Joker. And that was the same thing with Harley Quinn. They wanted, she
wanted Joker.
Lee, sorry.
Yeah.
Lee wanted him to be a certain way, and when he was Arthur, she had no interest in him. And it's sort of replicating and reflecting fans with the character.
Yeah.
And I think Todd Phillips is saying, like, fuck you sort of thing. Like,
no, I hear it, yeah.
Various stories for a character. There's going to be another time where someone makes another story about the Joker and he's going to be mysterious and we don't know nothing about him. This is just one particular story
Joker. Based off your point, do you think in the first one, okay, and the second one, because we're so concentrated on what the writers and directors, okay, were trying to do, okay, let's like go away from that for a second, okay, and go into what we think, okay, that the Arthur Fleck, character was, trying to do, like in that first one, he was trying to be famous. If we're keeping it at like a buck, okay, like
yeah, you know, of course.
Take away the mental health, blah, 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 blah. He was trying to be, like, famous, right? And then...
But I think the core of that is validation.
He was looking for validation. It's beyond,
he never gets it.
But it's beyond being, like, famous. It's more being seen. Because for his entire time in that first film, he was either bullied or completely ignored by society. And
it's not just that, to add on to that as well. It's like, so his mum, like, they made a callback in the second film about it. So his mum told him a story that he was put on this earth to kind of like make people laugh and, which is like one of his motivations, as you said, like the adoration. He wanted people to see him because he thought that this is my purpose. I need to be here seen. That's why he tried to become a comedian. That's why he tried to do all of this. And like, to your point, like I'm very much of the people who are like, this is not Joker, so I do not like this. But I can understand the idea of like wanting to bring a different iteration to it. I just don't think
you see the court scene, the last one where it blows up and stuff, right? Okay. That scene for me, okay, was the quickest callback to any of the previous times we've seen him, like in Dark Knight and stuff. because he wasn't able just to have fans, okay, but he was able to have soldiers, you know, people that are like believing in him blindly, you know, and kind of like out of like the same way that people believe was in Batman, right? Okay, you know, it gave off that same vibe, and like, you know, they blew up here, and even when he got in the car, he didn't even understand it. He was still like, yo, these are strangers. Do you know what I'm saying? And if he gets out the car, Evan dips. But just that scene of people blowing up a courthouse in Gotham is crazy. Like that's insane. But that I wanted more of that. Like I wanted more of like little teasers of like what is to come if he was like going to become the Joker that we know. I don't need to see it. I don't have to see him become the Joker, right? But and I say that with the previous iterations that we've seen, but I'm saying like, tease me, the whole thing, just tease me. But instead it was pause. instead it was just kind of, it felt like a little bit of a, not pantomime, but like a...
I mean, I think it goes back to what Gaz was saying, like a fuck you to the people who thought that Joker was going to be one thing. Like, I'm very much at the agreeance that I think he self-sabotaged him because of all the discourse around it. I wanted, because I know we've been quite negative, I do want to jump on a little bit of a positive.
Not yet? I have a few more
negatives. A few more negatives? Okay, cool.
One of my issues,
I don't mind it.
Pacing of the film's poor, so it ends up feeling quite boring. It shouldn't do. The use of the musicals are supposed to bring up the sort of the tempo and make you feel alive in a sense. And there were elements of it that were good. There was one courtroom musical aspect of it. Unbelievable.
I thought it was good.
When he ends up shooting
shoots himself, but he hammers the judge.
Hammers the judge, that was amazing. That was great. But yeah, there was some elements of it that I liked.
Also, that scene
where the tap dancing one was good as well.
The building a mountain, like the gospel.
But the musical elements for me, as you said, there was a few too many, and they didn't necessarily add to the narrative. Now, someone has said, I was speaking to someone yesterday, and they said that was kind of to show the fragmented nature of his mind.
Yeah.
And there's elements of me that understands that, but the execution for me still wasn't good enough to make that enjoyable to watch as a viewer of the film. And my other issue with the film is, if you're telling me that this guy Joker has become bigger than himself. Like, it's the idea of him. That's the important thing about the Joker in the city of Gotham. I want to see his impact in Gotham beyond a few shots of the TV screen where you see his fandom sort of on a staircase, a few shots of Lady Gaga walking up the stairs and you see the Joker fans. I wanted to see and live in Gotham and see his impact beyond. They tried to use Lady Gaga as a sort of eyes and window into that.
Well, that wasn't enough, yeah.
But for me, it wasn't enough. Like, I needed to see why people love the Joker and what it's doing in Gotham.
Really, but I feel like you got that in the first one towards the end.
Towards
the end,
but that's like a 5-10 minute scene.
I guess so.
And then you've got the other scene where I think it's when it's the mayor candidacy and it's Thomas Wayne versus somebody else, and you see them sort of booing outside. Like, we got that twice. That was like 2-3 to 5 minute scenes, and then a couple of scenes in the film. It just wasn't, for me, it wasn't enough.
It feels very non-committal in a lot of ways. Like,
there was too much time wasted in the prison. Too much time wasted in the court. Like, the courtroom scenes for me. Courtrooms, Anatomy of a Fall, we watched last year. You seen it? Anatomy of a Fall, the film.
No.
Oh, you would love it.
Unbelievable film. Courtroom drama, one of the best films I saw last year. Well, saw it this year. It's a film that came out last year.
Okay.
Courtroom drama that builds tension and makes you feel something. Like, you can feel the stakes of that. And now I get this. It's Joker, so tension isn't necessarily something. When he's parading as the Joker in the courtroom, it's not meant to be tense. But I feel like it should be as well. Like, I feel like that should be a scene where I'm feeling the stakes of what's going on, and the relationship with Harvey Dent didn't do anything for me either. It shouldn't have been Harvey Dent. It could have just been any lawyer.
That's could have been, yeah, it didn't need to be Harvey Dent. I think they just did that because it's like, okay, cool, this is a Gotham universe we'll just put in.
Oh, we're going to bring two industry actors in as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of it, man. But there are some good elements that I think we should get into before we move on.
Yeah, no. Like, I think stylistically, I think this is so an good. Unbelievable film.
Do you know what I liked about that?
Go on.
And I think you're going to agree. The contrast of Gotham and the gloomy, dark, sort of stoic, grey depiction of Gotham, his real life, whether he's in Arkham, it's not Asylum.
Arkham Island, right?
It's a different name, but it's
I know what you mean.
When he's in Arkham and when he's in Gotham compared to the musical scenes, which are all in his mind,
which are
bold and colourful and bright, and that's where he's really living his life in comparison to the reality where he's
100%.
That was brilliant.
Literally that. I think well, it's not much more to add, isn't it? Like, it's absolutely a beautifully shot film. I mean, with the budget it had, I expect it to be as beautiful, and I mean, even the first one was stylistically brilliant. I don't think style was the problem. I do also think while there have been too many musical moments, they were my favorite bits of the film.
Interesting.
Like, I think Lady Gaga, like, do you know what? Like, I feel like if there was any other actress to do this, I'm glad they got Lady Gaga to it, because I enjoy her music a lot and her singing is brilliant. Like, she's definitely.
Her lip filler was popping, though.
Her lip filler was popping. Yeah. But, hey. If you like it, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, no, I think those are great. And like, we already spoken about it, but kind of like the tap dancing scene. I think the effort that Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga have taken in. Like, I don't think Joaquin has ever been known to be a singer, but he's was actually decent.
This is what I'm saying. The performances were calm.
Yeah.
Like as in for what they were given, yeah, the performances were calm. I'm not complaining about that at all. Okay. It's just the writing of the general film.
No, 100%. 100%.
Left and right. Also, like, you know, you talk about like the budget. Like, I actually think, yeah, the success of the first film was probably the downfall of this film, okay, because of how much it made. Like, it made like 1.1 billion. It was like the highest rated.
It made a lot of money.
R-rated, whatever it's called, right? Okay, which is insane. Okay, I generally think if that film made like 400 mil, this film would have had a different direction. Because
100%.
Even if they lose money now, yeah, they're still up.
They're still up, like, from the first one.
In a franchise sense, they're up.
I think that's calm, which kind of like goes back to Gaz's point about like because the film was so successful, and then kind of like what Manny's kind of like discussion points were as well. Like, so many people have taken Joker to be one thing when it was never meant to be. Well, it's never meant to be, I'm assuming anyway, the director's vision for Joker to be. Hence why in the second one, when are we going to go into absolute spoiler territory?
Before we move on,
So when they do kill off the Joker, which, by the way, so you know when he gets killed off, and then the guy behind, you know, the scene blurs. That's what I was going to say. Because, like, he obviously cut him. Again, it comes to the whole thing, like, it's so non-committal. Because it's like, okay, cool. You want to kill off the idea of Joker, right? But you don't want to kill off...
No, but then they've done what you said. Bro, earlier, you said, okay, that Joker, one of the best parts about him in the comic books is no origin story, nothing.
No, 100%. I find that. That's calm.
They've literally
that's
done
calm.
That. They've given you someone that just laughing all fucking episodes.
Yeah, no, that's calm. You know that's calm. Saying? But I'm talking about from the director's vision himself, right? Yeah, yeah. Where it's just like, it just feels, again, non-committal. If you want to do a fuck you to your fans, do a fuck you to your fans. But then you want to do a fuck you to your fans, but then you want to give yourself that inch of saving grace where it's like, okay, guys, here's what you want. Mm. Like, give you that. I don't know. It just feels like, I don't want to feel like I'm being pandered to in a film. Mm. You know, give me your vision. And then, like, whether I hate it, calm. Whether I love it, calm. But don't make me sit here and be like, ah, oh, this guy tried to give himself an out. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is what I feel. I mean, look.
Well, I guess the basic understanding is that person, you know, idolized Arthur. He's obviously, you know, not well as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then instead of actually wanting to be like a soldier, he wanted to be Arthur.
Yeah, he wanted to be Arthur. Like, or the Joker,
Yeah,
so
obviously.
Yeah. You know, no, I hear it.
Kills
I hear
him,
it.
Becomes the Joker because I guess at that point he doesn't have the makeup. So he decides to, you know, just cut his mouth open, which is great. And then, film ends.
Good callback to Heath Ledger's, though. You know, when he goes, you know how I got these scars?
Yeah,
and he's just giving themself
that. And
then
you see Harvey Dent when the courtroom scene thing blew up.
Half of his face.
Half his face.
Yeah. Like, do you know what? Again, stylistically, cinematography-wise, like...
You're not seeing him when Lady Gaga goes to visit him and she draws the lipstick.
Yeah. Like, it's... And I was just like, do you know what? Like, the film does so much on a visual level and a technical level that I'm just like, I should love this film.
Was Lady Gaga real? Was Harley Quinn real?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it has to be because, like, there are various characters who validated her existence, if that makes sense. Like, the lawyer
meant to
Yeah, the lawyer, she was like, yo, she's not... She's playing you for a fool and stuff like that. Like, she don't...
She's a rich motherfucker who's trying to...
Exactly.
Assimilate... Mental exactly. health, crazy.
Yeah, just...
She was cosplaying as a...
She's cosplaying as a mental person.
Which, just like Twitter.
No.
Bro.
I saw, like, someone say, okay, that she's real and then she dies, right? And she dies before the courtroom scene when she's in, like, the red outfit.
What's the basis of that theory?
Oh. If you see the shot that they give you, right? She's walking through the crowd, right? The crowd's not actually trying to get to her or take pictures of her. They're going for the people in front of them.
I like that theory.
So there's a small gap, okay, you know, where she like walks through. Then when she sits down in the same courtroom scene and she gets up to finally leave, nobody reacts. You know, when she gets up, and usually in court. You can't stand up in court
and just dip.
And just dip, right? So like, there was like little bits and bobs like that. People,
do you know
were,
what?
Like, you know,
that would make sense because
right?
There was that one scene where she's got the gun to her head.
Yeah.
And then
it's
like, do you know what? All right, fair enough.
But
that's good foreshadowing.
But apparently, she is like this. Well, the theory is that she is this like rich kid or you know, psychology student and blah 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 blah, right? And then what's it? After Arthur finds out, she then after that scene where they're in the prison, okay. After that, apparently she's dead and gone.
Okay.
But
okay.
You know, allegedly.
Allegedly. But yeah.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Manny, we went to watch the first episode of La Macana the other day.
Yeah.
Macarena, sorry. Disney Plus series. What are your thoughts, bro? How'd you find it?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Essentially about this boxer who's quite old, coming towards the end of his career, and his best friend that's also his manager, trying to get them to have one last fight after he loses to an opponent that's fairly younger than him. He loses in his first round. The boxer's quite embarrassed by it. The manager obviously trying to make sure that he's not quote-unquote seen as washed up, attempts to, in a sense, revive his career, doing all that he can to get him to the point of being able to fight this boxer again for a rematch, and he gets the rematch.
Excuse me.
So for the whole episode, we see mainly that just the dynamics between the boxer, the manager, and the relationship they have around the people, and also the boxer's determination and some of the issues that he has that doesn't get touched on too much, but it alludes to it and just makes it clear that there are problems within him. But obviously, we don't deep dive into it into the first episode. And then we get to the end of the first episode. Don't want to say too much exactly what happens at the end. But it opens the gates for this show. A lot is going to happen to happen within it. And the way that it's written is really written really well. It's obviously it's top is kind of serious, but they're doing it in a very comedic way that you accept and appreciate the bizarreness of it throughout the first episode, which I'm assuming will carry on throughout the rest of the season. But yeah, it's one episode. I only watched one episode. I only watched one episode that day. It was really well written. It was funny. It was enjoyable. And I'm excited to finish watching it.
Genre-wise, what would you categorize it as?
Sports comedy, I guess. Comedy? Yeah.
Comedy drama.
Comedy drama, yeah.
All those elements, for sure. Okay. It's fun. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's quite flamboyant, over the top, dramatic, but still has an essence of a story that it's trying to tell.
Yeah.
Mm. Quite enjoyable. And because because it's like all of those things from the first 5 minutes of the episode,
yeah.
You accept some of the things they do later on, which if they hadn't done, you'd be like, what am I watching?
Mm.
But because they sort of committed to what they were doing,
okay,
it
cool,
was
cool,
so
cool.
Much fun. But it was also quite dramatic. Yeah. There's a criminal underworld element to the series as well, which makes it so much more interesting and dives into corruption within sport, which is fun and interesting because we know that's a thing, especially
in boxing.
Especially in boxing.
Yeah.
It's all in Spanish, so there are subtitles, but it was such a good first episode that I was willing to dive into it. Gael Garcia Bernal is the lead alongside Diego Luna, who's in Andor. He's the lead
Andor,
of Andor.
Yes.
And they're both great, man. Like, their chemistry is off the charts. You can see that they're friends, in real life. You can
yeah.
They're dogs. They get along. And it reflects in their scenes in the film. And they're different relationships with different characters as well. So, the scene with the other black
dancer?
No.
Oh, the other manager.
The boxer. That was such a funny, interesting. Yeah. So many of those sort of different relationships we got to dive into. With his ex, for example, really, really, she's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
Beautiful, a lovely relationship there as well. And it's an interesting dynamic where he tries to go back to her and he goes back to somebody else after. Really fun series. Really fun. I'd recommend it 100%. If I hadn't seen it, I probably wouldn't have watched the series.
Yeah, same.
Okay. I haven't seen the first episode. I'd say, if you need a series to watch, put it on your list, Disney Plus. It's really good.
I think within the first 5 minutes, you can tell whether you're going to enjoy it or not. But that's just another thing in terms of not just TV shows or any sort of media. I feel like you need to set the tone fairly early on for whoever's consuming it to get an understanding of what they're putting themselves into.
Yeah.
I it really throws me off when I watch something and there's a certain tone within the first few minutes and it changes drastically. And it's not it's not by design. It just happened in terms of just writing. That really does put me off the show. But yeah, they've done it really well.
Yeah, and just shout out to Diego Luna. His character's quite complex. There's a charismatic, sort of loony, fun aspect to him. But then there's also some inner complexities that he's dealing with and he's struggled with who he is and how he looks. That scene in the mirror.
Yeah,
it's class. Okay. So yeah, good series, man. Good first episode. So
yeah, the first episode.
Yeah, fair, if you need something to watch, add that to your... Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about for our first episode as well.
Bro, for real. We've wrapped up in 2-3 minutes, but there's a lot to talk about. So.
Yeah, fair.
If you need a new series, Disney Plus is I think it's out on Wednesday. This Wednesday coming. So.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Cool. Good.
Hussam. Megalopolis.
Oh, my days.
Oh, you watched it, yeah?
Yeah, man.
You tell us? I'm not going to watch it.
I saw a review.
That I'm definitely watching.
I saw a review for Megalopolis.
The cast is crazy, though.
Yeah, I hear it, but there's too many sickles in there. There's too many sickles in there.
Shia LaBeouf in it as well.
Yeah, man.
So many actors.
Bro, the thing that completely pulled me off watching it.
Georgie's a bad woman.
I don't know if I should say it, but apparently there's a scene in the film where one of the characters, I think Shia LaBeouf's character, does a thing with a baby's that's underage, and then we later find out the baby's actually in the mid-20s and she was lying, blah blah blah.
Shia LaBeouf, he filmed somebody.
Okay.
Who was the main guy again? I forgot his name.
Adam Driver.
Yeah. So basically he films him sleeping with a 16-year-old virgin. Right, and then they find out that she's actually 23, but they also find out that Adam Driver didn't actually see before. It was all AI'd and made up.
Yeah.
So nothing actually happened.
No, it's not the fact that it happened. It's I know what you're doing. Yeah. Like, I know what you're doing. He go fuck himself. I'm sorry. I'm not watching these films.
Well, look. Like, it was the most confusing and probably top, in my top five worst films that I've watched in the past 2-3 years.
That's crazy.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Is this film worse than when we watched Blade Runner?
Nah, Blade Runner's better.
Okay.
Way better.
Okay. I haven't watched Blade Runner. Blade Runner 2049, right?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I can't believe the way you guys talk about it in comparison.
Now, do you know what? At the time,
yeah, it's not that bad, you know.
Do you know what? Because just to add context, right? So it was the last viewing of the day,
it was 1 a.m.
It was like 1 a.m. and then I will say, and I will stand by this because I haven't rewatched it since, but the film starts very, very slow.
So slow.
It's so slow.
First and 40 minutes is crazy.
Granted,
it's a Denis film, so I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Right, and I've grown to like him, especially since Dune. Grown to like him, so I will definitely give it another chance.
I have already.
But at the time, when I was
like, who?
Denis.
What? That guy's made some fucking unbelievable films, you know?
Yeah. No, he...
Hey, Prisoners is up there for me, like my top 20 at least.
Did Prisoners come out before Blade Runner?
It did.
Okay, fair enough. That's my bad. Because I've never seen Sicario. I want to watch it. But okay. But like, literally, when we watched it at the time, it was
a bit overrated.
Is it?
Slightly. I think people think about it like it's a mad
film. Fair. So like, I will say Sicario.
Yeah, it's a good film, but
people talk about it like it's mad.
It's not, bro. Prisoners, in the other hand,
yeah. Prisoners is a banger.
I really like Arrival as well. I think Arrival is better than Scorpio, but it's not better than Prisoners.
I like Arrival quite a lot.
Yeah, I like that film. But I'm a sci-fi guy.
Yeah, with Blade Runner, I will say...
Yeah.
I'll give Blade Runner another chance. It's just at the time with the context and everything, like we were just not feeling it. And then we just left midway. And then, yeah, you know when you watch a film for the first time, that feeling initially sticks with you?
Mm.
That's how it is, but I'm definitely going to give it another chance. But yeah, Megalopolis is...
Look, guys, like, it is the most overlayered film I've ever watched in my whole life, okay? My cinema was packed, okay? I went to Picture House Central to watch this, okay? Mm-hmm. So, very different crowd, like, the guy...
Who did you take with you?
Babes.
Mrs.
And the guy next to me.
Mrs.
And the guy next to me.
Is he hearing my questions?
And the guy next to me, he was, like, white hair... you know, old man, like, you know, like George Clooney looking Don, you know, sitting like this and that. Every person in that cinema was laughing. And the person I was with, okay, I was like, yo, why are they laughing? He's like, there was no jokes, man. You know what I mean? I was like, why are they laughing? She literally goes, I think they're laughing because of how like ridiculous it is. Like it got that bad. You know what I'm saying? It got so left turn. People were laughing at the seriousness because they were like, I can't be serious. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's about this guy who basically rebuilt New York and then calls it New Rome instead of New York because he's like obsessed with like a Roman culture, and then he tries to turn it into this like AI type city, whereas the government and the richest family there who Shia LaBeouf belongs to, okay, are basically like funding him, but they're also funding the mayoral elections as well. So they're kind of going at each other because the mayor doesn't fucking like him and safe. The cast is insanity. Like the cast is insanity, and every single person in that fucking cast. Who's the mixed race lady?
Natalie
Emmanuel, right? Or yeah, bro, cold. She's also Leng, obviously.
Okay. I knew that was on the way.
But she.
Oh, you find a light skinned woman with Leng? No way. Shocking. Oh my god.
He's never escaping the allegations.
Even though she was light skinned, I was.
He just got.
So, yeah. But she was incredible. Adam Driver was fantastic. Shia LaBeouf was probably my favorite character.
He's actually such a great actor,
bro.
He's a great actor, shit human being.
Yeah. His role was the most dynamic role out of every single. Like he had to play this obnoxious like rich kid, right? And then, but he also had to be smart and conniving and kind of a pervert. And also, like he sleeps.
So he wasn't acting.
Yeah, yeah, that was the real. Yeah,
that was the real.
That's crazy. That's like, yeah. He and then he was sleeping with his three sisters, which is weird. Okay, but you know, they kind of like
not even Francis. Stevens.
Yeah.
Moving bad. But yeah, sorry guys, just wrap. Very, 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 very confusing film. Not worth a watch. And the best thing that I could say is that I understand that it is a novel, right? Or it's a book, okay? And I get it should stay as one, because I understand if you read something as convoluted as that, reading it is probably better, because you can imagine what you think is happening. But we got to see it from that idiot's imagination, and it was fucking shit. So yeah, that film for me, well, I think this is the lowest score that I'm giving this year, but it's, for me, it's like a 3.1.
That's crazy.
Okay. I'm going to continue the trend of solo bouts. I see Jason's looking at some notes.
Yeah,
I see there's something you want to talk about.
No, I watched the Deliverance.
No.
Not too long ago. I'm not sure if this is quoted, but for me anyway, it was kind of like a black take on The Exorcism.
Okay. This is not a new film, right?
No, it came out towards the end of August, I believe.
Okay, cool.
Or end of August, mid September. I can't remember exactly when around that time. Watched quite a few actually, but yeah. So it's starring Monique and Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And the lady who played Cruella in the original.
Oh, dope! Yeah.
101 Dalmatians. But it's an okay film. It is.
all that is an okay film. Fuck
yeah! No. Do you know what?
Yeah, that build up was a bit mad, dog.
Yeah. No, I had a lot of things, thoughts about this film, right? Because, like, towards the end of the film, it felt like, and I want to be specific in my wording here, like, evangelical propaganda in the aspects of, like, you know, especially within, like, you know, how big Christianity is within the black family and stuff like that. And kind of like how, you know, like, especially, like, people around our age and even younger, when we look towards our parents and our older generations, they don't understand mental health or the ideas of mental health. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, cool. If you're feeling depressed, just pray it away. You know, like pray to God and then you'll be fine, without kind of like understanding the nuances that comes with that.
Yeah.
And it felt very much of that, in the sense of like, no matter whether you're being possessed by a demon or anything like that, like just pray to God. You're calm, right? And obviously, within the film, they have an actual demon possessing kind of like people, and and then they turn to God. What's going on with you? So just to kind of like explain the pretense, right?
That's mad.
No. So Deliverance is focusing on a family called the Jackson family. A focus on a mother.
Name choice.
Yeah. a mother who has had problems with drinking and kind of like split from her husband. And she still has kind of like, not ownership, what's the word? Custody of her kids. But she's on the fringes, you know, like her, like alcohol checker lady who's played by Monique checks on her every now and again. It's like, bro, stop drinking. You need to fix up. And then they move into this house where there is a demon living in it, and then kind of like eventually possesses all three of the kids, and then, you know, shit goes there from down from there.
Yeah, why do you watch this shit, bro?
I've grown to love horror as like an art form, because it does have it says a lot of things.
Have you seen the Substance?
The Substance?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Not yet.
It came out like 2 weeks ago, right?
Okay.
Bro, I was on the way to go watch it. And two of my boys.
So the reviews.
Two of my boys called me unrelated. Unrelated, just called me, just to be like, what you be saying? I'm on the way. And I told them, now I'm going to watch the Philly Substance. They both go, yo, don't.
Horror film.
Bro, yeah, they both told me, yo, don't go watch it, bro. It's fucked up. It's too fucked up. Like, it's so fucked up, bro. Like, don't go. And I said, all right, so I'm all right, turn around.
I'll keep that in my note. But
I thought it was like a scary thriller. But apparently it's effed up.
Okay.
I'm not down for it.
But yeah, no, just to kind of like wrap up on Deliverance, like it had a few bits of what that I would call propaganda, but I think
propaganda for what?
Propaganda for like
Like, Jason.
No.
I heard the noise again.
That was me.
No, I was going to say.
My bad.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, yo.
That was it.
Eager to shoot the gun, my bad.
Yeah. No, but this idea of that, like, look, if you're going through something, just pray to Jesus and then you'll be fine, which is all well and good. Like, obviously, me, myself being Christian and everything, like, I don't, like, mind that in the sense of, like, you need to have faith to do better in life. But, like, you can't just place everything on faith and then, you know, God will provide. That's the one thing that always bothered me, because it does kind of, like, you know, not to get personal or anything like that. Like, you look at your older generations, you're just like, I can see why you are the way that you are, because you've not done anything to help yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what the film felt like, in the sense of, like, look, forget all your external problems. If you just pray hard enough, you'll be good. And I think that's a bit of a bad message to put out.
Okay. Let's move on before we keep talking about the D word. So, yeah.
The D word, you know, bad thing. Speaking of evil, me and Huss, we watched that maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago. It was in Soho Hotel. I liked the film a lot. You liked it less than I did.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about the film?
It was alright. It was like a like a Netflix film, you know.
I disagree.
What was it about us?
He's definitely wrong.
Why am I wrong?
James McAvoy looking wham though. Okay, he looked pretty, but he looked hench, by the way. I don't know, man. I just felt like it was. So basically, do you want to give the premise?
Do you want me to give it?
Yeah,
two families meet on a holiday. Everything seems fandy and dandy and nice and cute, but you could tell there's something off with James McAvoy's side of the sort of two families. From the very beginning, the film kind of alludes to the idea that something's off.
Yeah.
And it kind of leads into the idea of keeping up pretense. And even though you feel uncomfortable in like a certain scenario, we all, as human beings, sometimes feel like we can just be like, it's kind of a British thing, like, oh, it's fine.
You give
No, I know.
Benefit of the doubt, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's like, yeah, there's nothing to worry about here. And even when you see the signs that, like, this person is not who I think they are, we continue to give human beings the benefit of the doubt. The family then, James McAvoy's family invites the other American family who live in London to their, like, in the country
cottage, just cottage next
to, like, to stay with them.
Yeah.
You've met them once on a holiday, you've invited them. And the alarm bell should really be ringing, but they don't. They go and stay with the family, and chaos slowly but surely ensues between the two families. James McAvoy is phenomenal, like really, really good.
He's really good in it.
Like really intense, scary.
I mean, he's an intense actor. You look. He's at Split, a face actor, for example.
He is a face actor. What, like, his facial
expressions,
crazy, bro. And they've always been nuts. In Split, oh my days, he's so dope in Split. But, like, yeah, he's honestly like that film. My problem with it was just that it took so long.
I like that. See, that's
no.
Built attention, no?
No, Jake, I didn't watch a James McAvoy one, right?
It really built attention.
Because, like, the film is kind of like a remake of, like, the original
Danish
one.
Yeah.
And
I heard that's darker.
I watched that one because I was watching a YouTube video that was recommending it, and I thought that was the James McAvoy one. And I was like, oh, I thought it was already out. So I watched that one. I'm going to watch the James McAvoy one to compare.
I'm telling you, my one note is, I wish it was darker, right? Like,
and watch the Danish one.
Yeah, because I promise you now, everything that eventually happens wraps up in like 10 minutes. I promise you.
Okay.
It's cap.
But
once they clock everything, it's like a 10-minute just...
But they clocked, right? No. Yeah, I think the film is obviously largely, as in Speak No Evil, was largely carried by the great performance of James McAvoy. But I think Aisling Franciosa, who plays his wife, also helps, like, to keep up the... She helps to bring a balance, because if it's just McAvoy, you'd be like, why are the family staying here? It doesn't make sense. But because she seems to keep up some kind of normality, but also plays into the weirdness of his character.
Yeah.
It makes sense why they were thinking, oh, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
Let's give them the chance to, like...
I just wish we found out the creepiness. Obviously, we knew something was up, obviously. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I wish we found out maybe 20 minutes earlier, because then we could have built into...
As in when the kids find out.
Correct.
The kids were incredible, by the way.
The kids were so good. The kids were my favourite part.
They were like, wow. Like,
yeah.
This is child acting.
Yeah. Okay. But like, I just
really
wish, yeah, six. Bro, as in sick, bro. But I wish that was just that just happened like 20 minutes earlier, just so then we can build on the history as to why we're doing this. Do you know okay. what I'm saying? Okay. And but it was.
But then almost, that plays into Jason's point. Some people just do things because they do them, right? Obviously, yeah. in this particular film, there were. I think he mentioned something about like his dad. Like he keeps referencing his dad in the film. Like his dad.
No. Not like why he's doing it. But I'm saying how long they've been doing this for, right?
Because you want to see the like
the photos, right?
That was fucking sick.
That was probably my favorite scene. Okay, I was shook the whole time. Okay, I was like, yo, get out there, boy. You know what I'm saying? I was so shook.
When the daughter leaves, the fucking Eddie. Yeah.
Bro. Because you know that was, and then they're like, they know that you can see in their faces. They know they should keep going,
bro. But and
they're like, fuck it.
And there's even like, there's even like one bit where like people don't really talk about when they were in the attic bit, and they think he catch them and stuff. Okay, and then they kind of escape, and she, the wife of the other guy, gets the gun, points it at the other wife, and she says, "I was his first victim." Okay, you know, I don't want to be here. Da, 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 da. So wait, are you telling me that she's been there? Because there was a point, okay, he said that he's known her for like 14 years and they tried to calculate the age, made like a joke of it and said, cool, so safe. But she's probably like 15, 16, been robbed, and then man's been like R-wording her for like a long time. Yeah. And then she's been, I guess, what's that called again? When you
Stockholm Syndrome.
Exactly. And you dive into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, dive into some of these things, all right? So that it can get creepier and creepier and creepier. Like it builds this like aura around him.
No,
you know?
Yeah,
but we almost got hit with his aura like right at the end. It was like safe. And there was like little bits where like he grabbed the sun like really, really hard. And it was like, okay. But, yeah.
But I think that's what the film does so well. And I guess I'm speaking about the original, but I guess they're more or less like interchangeable. But like, as Gaz was saying, this whole thing of like, we're pushing the buttons just enough for it to be like, alarm bell should be ringing off, but because we want to give them...
In your film, did they have the scene where the wife starts giving head, but she's not giving head?
Oh, I don't remember that.
At the cottage, the other cottage.
When they went to like the restaurant thing.
Yeah.
No, not that.
And
it
made the other couple feel so awkward. It was fucking hilarious, man. Like literally, imagine you having a meal with somebody with like two couples. Like,
yeah.
Let's do what do they call it?
Swingers.
Oh man.
Say
more. A double date.
A double date. Yeah, okay.
Double date, and then they start lipsing up and that.
Swingers.
While she's eating, and then she just goes under the table because they were talking about like their liberation. And their like their openness to just being sexual human beings. And she just goes on, but she doesn't do it, but then she comes up and they start laughing with each other. And
it's so funny because the other couple, you almost see their faces go, this is why we're here, because they think that it's like a swingers thing, right? And then obviously when they do that, okay, it's like, okay, cool, no, they're just crazy. So.
Yeah. And there's the interesting...
There's some vanilla to me.
That's a damn real freak.
Freak, we have to be careful to use that one, you know. But I like the duality of the different dynamics where this family looks like they're the perfect epitome of what a family should be. Daughter, we love each other, we're upstanding citizens.
Well, the wife did get some.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the pretense of like everything can look a certain way, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes between a friendship or a married couple. You don't know that she might have stepped out on him, or you don't know that he might be physically abusing said partner. Whereas, and so they look like, oh yeah, perfect couple, but they're not really. But then they judge the other couple for how weird they are, but you're just as bad, but you're just bad in your own different ways. So is it, I like
for that. Context, the wife was getting sent a few dick pics on her phone. So yeah,
by some
next dude. So we come into the movie, them kind of just sorting it out. So he, you know, but obviously every argument, okay, he's just like, but you got dick pics on your phone, bro.
Yeah, he carries that sort of with him throughout the film.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Obviously.
He can carry the resentment. She carries the pictures.
But then there's the element of his character is quite like submissive and quite like...
Cock.
Quite like... He's a, it's harsh for me to say. But along those lines of like being very submissive, especially around what you deem to be an alpha male, which is what James McAvoy's character was. Mm-hmm. So again, that was another interesting duality of.
But kind of like goes to. I was going to say like the submissiveness, because like towards the end of the film, like
he got some balls.
The guy was like, "Yo, why are you doing this?" And then Danish one, he's like asking him, "Why'd you do this?" And then the guy replies back to him, "Cause you let me. Like, you're a waste, man. You fucking let me. Like you could have stopped this at any time, but you're a pussy, yo. So you like,
yeah.
That's fact. That's fact.
I can't lie. Maybe that was the angle that the film will try to take in terms of like showcasing.
For me, there's multiple angles.
No, I think that's yeah. I mean, I'll definitely watch the James McAvoy one for sure as well. But like.
It's okay.
It was like an interesting being like, okay, cool, like how far do we take like social conformism and stuff like that, and this idea of like when do we stand up for ourselves? Is it okay to say no? Just because everybody else is pretending everything is okay doesn't sometimes mean that what you're looking at is okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like
I think it's a good
that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, man. Yeah. It gave small Blink Twice vibes, but like different sort of storytelling. Mm. I liked it.
Good.
Yeah, man. There's two films I'd say watch. I love Blink Twice as well. So
Oh my god,
Blink Twice.
Good film.
Stop you didn't like it as much as me. Though.
I did like it, man.
I said as much as me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blink Twice is top five of the year so far.
The one in top five.
I'm not even disagreeing.
Who's the one in our car explosions for you?
Huh?
The one in our car explosions for you.
That's on 12. Fucking boss.
Do you know what? Do you know what I would say? In this ep, like, Manny had jokes for everyone today. He had jokes for everyone today. So, yeah, like, fair enough.
I mean, I've been watching our film with TV recently, so I have to come with the jokes.
Please, fire. You can.
We have to, surely.
There's something you can talk about. You watched the first episode of Penguin.
Yeah, I watched the first few. I think I'm on episode 3. Oh my gosh.
The first two.
Episode 3 is out tomorrow.
Okay, I'll talk about the first two. Oh, bro. It's great TV. I've not watched the second one yet.
I've only watched the spoilers.
What?
Yeah. Yo, I've only watched the first.
Could that be the best first episode of a TV series I've watched in a while?
That's what you said. I think this might be the best, like, pilot TV episode I've watched. If you can class as a pilot.
Yeah.
Standing.
It's like, first of all, we can talk about all different aspects of TV. There's so much to talk about. Like, talk about the cinematography in terms of how it was shot.
Oh, beautiful.
It's just so gritty and beautiful. And
beautiful.
And it allows you to emerge within the scenery without actually taking it away from the characterization and the talking and the conversation that's happening within in front of you. But there's so much going on in the background that it's so, like, it just fits and it makes so much sense. And even all the places that Penguin goes to, because right at the beginning, we see him go to so many different places and just showing us Gotham. Like, Gotham's, again, similar with the Batman first film.
The universe.
Bro, it's his own character. Gotham City, it's his own characters. Even little incidents where we see him with my guy, Jay? Victor. He's driving around. Even when he hops out of the car and he sees, like, I think the trans prostitutes standing aside.
Yeah.
But even, like, oh, hello, like, having small conversations, just adding to the fact that he is of this area, like, he is of Gotham, and because he moves around Gotham so much, we get to see Gotham as its own character.
Yeah.
You can take Penguin out of it, you can add somebody else into this universe, and it'll Gotham still make sense because of how much it's been.
Kamani. He's podding, man.
Keep going.
In that first episode, we literally saw like the dirty slums. Okay, we saw kind of like the middle class.
Yeah, and even when he drives up to his mom's house,
and you see like the suburban areas. Yeah,
bro, it's and even the fact that obviously we start off with the effects that happened at the end of the Batman in terms of how it fucked up the whole city, and even little scene with Victor's when he's walking around in the first episode and he's on the lamppost, you see like missing people. Obviously, you're gonna have missing people and people that die. Like, the whole city has been affected, and don't shy away from that. And also add to the fact, like, the disparity between the poor and the rich in terms of, Gotham City's fucked up, but not for these people.
Yeah, exactly. They're good. They're fine.
These lot are fine. These lot are good. Bro, it just adds, like, within the first episode, within the first few scenes, it just adds so much, and also adds so much to Penguin as a character in terms of how he reacts to the son that he shoots up in terms of him. Of him just laughing at him. And even, like, the way that the Penguin is with other people, it's just that, one, he's a very complex character, but also the way that he has to morph and adapt in different situations when he's having all these different conversations with people. And I remember when he's telling, before he shoots my guy, he's telling the story about, the person that brought me in, Like everybody loved him. So even though he wasn't like rich or anything,
yeah,
but everybody loved him. And when he died, they threw a parade for him. And my guy starts laughing. So is that who you think you are? Is that who, and bro? And just adds so much character for him to flip out the way they did. It's like, oh, I know who you are, and I know what you want, and I know why you feel this way based off that one scene. It's written so well. It's shot great. Like bro, it's like one of the it's so fucking good, bro.
Nah, the Matt Reeves Batman universe is exciting.
My favorite thing about Penguin, obviously, I'm always going to go, you know, back to the early comics, but you forget how much of a pussyo he is at the same time. Okay, you absolutely forget. Okay, that like the early Penguins, okay, that we saw in the old Batman films with Two-Face and Riddler and blah blah blah.
Oh, the George Clooney one.
Was it that
no,
one?
No, not George Clooney. No, before that was my guy, Michael Keaton.
You sure was it?
I think it was after Clooney. Who was after Michael Keaton?
Val Kilmer.
Yeah. But in that one, okay, Penguin is like he's shook of the big dogs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he always kind of wants to be a
big dog.
Yeah, and it's nuts, okay, because in the first like two eps, he alludes to it so much, even as he's giving like Vic advice, like he's telling him like, yo, so sometimes act small, right, to make them feel huge, right? But then, you know, like work in the shadows, right? That's the whole point of Penguin, okay? That like in the thingy comic books, okay, his whole operation is from the sewers, you know, yeah, from this. Like,
he's a master manipulator.
Yeah, like he does so well, okay, by being so small. Mm. You know what I'm saying, okay? And then like, we are literally watching him give like Victor the role of Penguin, right? And then he obviously wants to become the Falcons and the Salvatore Maronis and that kind of stuff. Okay, so like I just love the fact that they didn't forget that actually he's kind of a weasel, you know, like and like to get to where he's getting to now. Okay, he's a rat. Like he is literally a rat, and
he will do literally everything and anything to survive.
To survive, yes. Yeah.
And we didn't. I don't think we got enough of that in the Batman. It like alluded to it. Yeah, calm. But obviously there was a bigger story happening. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they were setting up this series. Yeah, exactly.
So we get the series, okay, and we get reminded about who he is. You know, and if you call him Firth, give that brother like an award or something, fam.
Guy,
Emmy, bro.
Like run it.
I really, really like the way he's depicted the character and the way he's been written, in a sense of, as you mentioned, there's the ambition that he has, the weasel like slimeball nature of his character, in tandem with the ambitious nature of his character as well, and he's always wanting to be better than he is,
yeah,
and he's found a way to do so far, but there's always more that he's looking for. And then I really appreciate the fact that series has like really elaborated on his different relationships. So you've got the sort of hooker sort of girl that he's with in the first episode that we see. His relationship that develops with Victor, which is like already one of my favorite relationships that I've seen between two characters, and the way it's going to develop.
And he's got a stutter, which I sympathize with. I love him for it, and he's black as
Renzi
well.
Fellas,
he's basically me.
Renzi Fellas.
Even not to cut you off, but even similar to how the MCU did it with Marvels when they had the woman that can't speak, she does sign language.
Oh, Valkyrie. No, what?
Not the Marvel, sorry. Eternals.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, and they got obviously Victor with a speech impediment, and I really appreciate things like that because
his character.
Yeah, adds to his character, and obviously they didn't make it a thing. Like that's just something that he has.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not from what I've seen.
Colin Farrell. Penguin doesn't make it.
Yeah,
like, it's not like you got to just. Who
you are. Yeah, exactly. I really appreciate it because we don't see enough of that in TV. Obviously, everybody is different. Yeah,
people have us.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminded me of like Tyrion and Bran. You know, where like he's like, well, I've gone through it in my life. You know, being me, and then like, you know, I've got a soft spot for. There's a quote that he says that he's got a
soft spot for cripples and bastards.
Yeah. Okay. And that stuff. Okay. So it's almost like Penguin has obviously gone through his whole life. He's got a disability as well, okay, and that kind of stuff. So you know, you almost see him when he's like hotting up the initial time where he's like, yo, you almost see Penguin like turn around and then it's clock him and then go, okay, cool. cool.
Yeah. He cares about people that are marginalised within the city because he is a marginalised person within the city that he lives in.
It's really good. I really enjoyed Christine Milioti as Sofia Falcone.
Bro!
There's so many facets to her character. There's a chilling, unnerving aspect to her, but she's also quite like composed and stoic, and quite chill as well. But the duality of those things coming together makes her such an interesting character.
It's given like Wilson Fisk from Daredevil, like the idea of like, look, cool, from, you know, very cool, calm, reserved, but then when they fly off the handle, they fucking fly off the handle.
And I love the crime family element of it as well, like the way it dives into like where people will have to do certain things to survive. But sometimes these families are also these crime sort of syndicates have to work together. But you're working together only to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
And you're keeping up pretense in your relationships with those. Seeing Victor sort of become accustomed to this world through his relationship with Penguin, really good. The Sofia Falcone Penguin dynamic is so interesting. Her relationship with her family, Johnny VT, I think Johnny VT is the name.
Called
Luca Falcone as well, who's the
uncle.
It's so well done. There's so much to talk about that we'll do probably an episode towards the end of the year.
Oh, for sure.
Just about the whole series, because I have no doubt that it's going to be one of the best shows of the year. Incredible. Like, really, really
good. Yeah.
So, shout out to the Penguin, man.
That's a good way to, sick, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Is that a wrap? Is there anything else?
I think so.
I can quickly talk about Fancy Dance, which is a film that stars Lily Gladstone, currently on Apple TV. Essentially about she has a sister, and obviously she has a daughter, and she gets custody of a daughter because her sister goes missing. Then the show not the same as Killer of the Flower Moon, but the aspect of Native Americans being marginalized within a country that they're from, and in terms of like somebody's gone missing, but police are not doing anything about it. And she's essentially trying to find out what actually happened to her sister. And there's also this Fancy Dance, which is like, it's meant to be like a mother and daughter thing that I'm probably not going to get the right aspects of it correct, but essentially like something that mother and daughter do, and something like very important. And it's very important to the daughter. And she's like wanting to go to this, I guess, let's call it conference or this huge dance or this huge festival with her mum. But obviously her mum can't go because she's gone missing. So you see the relationship that her daughter has with the aunt, and the issues that she has within herself, and the insecurities about the fact that her mom is not around. But yeah, just Lily Gladstone, she's a good actress. I enjoyed the film. I hope to see Lily Gladstone in more stuff.
There's a few things that we probably have to do another episode about. Slow Horses. You said you watched the first season and you weren't sure in it.
It was the first episode.
It gets better by season. Like, okay. It continues to elevate and improve. Okay. Like, it's really good. Nice. Season 4, poof. Apple TV Plus, sick.
I also want to talk about the next time, I guess, Lord of the Rings as well.
Yes, okay. I've heard it's really good. I'm not going to get into it. It's not my thing, but I heard it's cold.
It's better than the first.
I heard season 2's...
I've not watched the second season yet.
Everyone says the second season is crazy.
Okay. Because I watched the first season, I was just so...
No, everyone says the second season is crazy.
Okay, cool.
Way better.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'd have to watch those films first before I can.
It's coming towards the end of the year.
We've got
Bear TV shows to talk about at the end of the year as well.
Industry, for sure.
I wanted to catch up before the pod, but I'm glad we're not talking about industry because I only watched two episodes.
Oh, we do.
We're doing
Kit Harington.
Sicko.
He is such a good actor.
Oh, he's cool, bro.
I'm enjoying him. He's my favorite. Have you watched Industry?
No, not yet.
Have you watched Industry?
Yeah. I'm not caught up. I'll say that much. I am still on season 2.
Okay. Cool.
So in each season, we essentially have like a character that has like a large focus on. That's outside of the workplace.
I love that.
So in this season, we have Kit Harington as the main focus. Henry Mark as out of worker, and he's my favorite one in that role throughout the 3 seasons.
You know what I like about it, it brings a different conversation into the series around class.
Yeah.
Whereas the previous episodes are more focused on sort of aspects of like capitalism.
Yeah.
And the lower class, I guess, who come into this world of finance, and it's all new to them, and how you navigate that, right?
But we never explored old money.
Exactly, which is what Henry Mark is. He's Yeah, it's really, really
have
good.
Have you heard the writers talk about...
I've seen that. I think you like reposted it.
Yeah, because I think they mentioned like in the first season...
They were finding...
Yeah, they're trying to figure out exactly what the show was about. But once they finished the first season, they thought like, why wouldn't we talk about class and capitalism and these other people?
They all intertwine.
Yeah, yeah.
And the media.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Bro, this is like... Not in terms of like right? Like, in terms of how each season is done in the focus on it, it reminds me of The Wire quite a lot.
Yes.
Because, you know, I've got different aspects. Yeah. So I really appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So I'm looking for...
Jasmine, Robert. Ah, oh, this show is sick, bro.
If
what is it?
Let me...
if I'm going to talk about Jasmine...
Let me pod right now. Jasmine, you see you. I don't usually like your kind. However, for you.
she's a
bad woman, bro.
This is the type of bad woman that's like a bad woman that you need in your life.
She is an awful... No, she's not even awful.
But I like what season 3's done in terms of they didn't rush to give us the context as to why she is the way she is. They could have done that in like season 2.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've used season 3 to really...
Because they care about the characters.
Sick, man. Robert as well?
Yeah, I really like Robert, man.
Written character, bro.
He is. He was my favourite character. But he does dumb shit, which I like the fact that he does dumb shit because I can't like you wholeheartedly. I can't like anybody wholeheartedly in that show. But Robert does enough damn shit. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, nigga? But yeah, I fuck with Robert a lot, man.
Industry. It's one of the best shows of the
year. Yeah, 100%.
Nah, we're definitely doing this.
It's definitely going to be my top five at the end of the year.
Episode 5, but yeah, 6.
It's definitely going to be my top 5 at the end of the year. I can really tell.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Post-Credit Scene Podcast. That was a good episode, man. Back in the studio, you know the vibes every single
time.
Yes,
sir. Lovers. Back.
Lovers of film, TV, and theatre. It's your boy Gaz. It's your boy Jace. Hussam in the building. Woo! Yes, sir. Kobanza, otherwise known as Manny. You know the vibes every single time. Did I flop?
No, it's fine.
Oh, perfect, love that. Thank you, man. Just making sure. We are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast. We're without the solo today, so shout out to Biss. I'm sure she's somewhere. She's not here yet, but I'm sure she's somewhere.
Yeah, she's making her way.
You know the vibes, man. Over and out. Boom.
Love.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to